Hey, it's time for Voice Over Body Shop Tech Talk number 73. 73.
I always think of ham radio because I remember my dad saying 73s when he was signing off from a conversation.
That's the
ham. I'm amateur radio speak for see you later.
Oh.
73s.
Like 10-4 or Seattle Flipside. Alrighty. We got lots of cool stuff to talk about tonight. You've got, George, you're always looking at all this stuff and then reporting it back to us. You report the stuff of the week in tech. We're going to get to that. Again, if you've got questions, throw them in the chat room right now. If you got a problem with your home studio or a question about equipment or just general stuff about what makes your audio good, we'll be happy to answer.
There might be some ranting.
Oh, and yes, this is going to be an official rant episode, so stay tuned for that. It's Voice Over Body Shop Tech Talk coming up right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great-sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to Voice Over Body Shop Tech Talk.
Voice Over Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan Signature Products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to thrive, from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hello there. By the way, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO
BS
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Thank you, Jeff. All righty. Well, Chris, you keep seeing that picture of the Hollywood sign. Supposedly they've, you know, after the Super Bowl, they made it something about, you know, congratulations, Rams or something. I don't know how they did that. But
do you have to put on special glasses to see it?
Maybe that's what it is. Of course, I remember when they legalized pot in California and someone changed Hollywood to Hollyweed.
That was amazing. That was quite impressive.
How they got to do that, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here to talk about your home voiceover studio because that's what allows us to be professional voice actors at home. And we want to be able to sound as good as we can. But how do you do that? You know, it's amazing how often people say, I want to get started in voiceover and I don't know how to do it. People are so intimidated by the technology. And if you take the time and speak to someone who actually knows how simple it is, like, say, George or I, which is why, by the way, we do this program in the first place, it's a great opportunity to learn it right. And that's what George and I do. But you know, we probably don't think about it that much, but we're teachers. We are instructors. We tell you what the best equipment to get is for you. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more later on. But we will show you how easy it is. And it's always a relief at the end of our sessions with people who are just starting out and they all go, oh, that's what that is. Look, we've been doing this a long time. We know how to do it, and we know how to get you up and running very, very quickly. That's what George and I do. We are professional home studio consultants. George works with all the big talent in town. I get to work with a few of the big talent every now and again, but we know how it's done. And if you want to work with us and you want to learn how to do it right, you can contact us. For example, if you want to talk to Mr. Whittem, you go to
GeorgeThe.tech.
No, it's over here.
Is it over here?
Okay. It's over there. Yeah.
See how it's every time I go a wrong way. GeorgeThe.tech is my home on the web for booking time with me and my support team. Tim Friedlander as well is available. If I'm not, he can take over and take on bookings. Dan is available on our hotline for tech support. If you have an emergency, we actually have a hotline phone number. We're trying to find many different ways to support you, whether it's just need a sound check, have a tech emergency, or need to design a studio. You know, that's we're just trying to serve you that way and the best way we possibly can. And that's where we are, GeorgeThe.tech. And Dan has his brand of support over on his little place on the web, and that's down there.
HomeVoiceOverStudio.com.
Yes.
Which is going to have a whole new look very shortly.
You're beating me to it, but I'm going to have one by the end of this year. Mark my words.
Yes. We've moved the specimen collection cup to the top. So when you get to my website and you want to submit some audio to me, you just click on that. It's a Dropbox. Follow the instructions carefully. A lot of people are like, yeah, should I listen to my audio? And, you know, and they've done all sorts of processing and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, I want it raw. I want to hear the raw sound of your studio. And, you know, without any processing, what is it? What are the acoustics like? You know, how are you using your microphone? Do I hear sibilance or do I hear pops, you know, plosives? And are your levels right? It's amazing. Nobody understands levels. Even though we try to tell them that every week, levels are actually pretty simple when you break it down. But if you go over to homevoiceoverstudio.com, $25, I will analyze your audio. If I think you got some major problems, we can talk about it. But generally, it's like, you raise your up input a little bit. Or are you under a shelf? I get that one a lot. But we will get you where you need to be. So if you're not getting voice work, it won't be because of your audio. I guess that's the simplest way to put it. Anyway, here on VoiceOver Body Shop, we like to talk tech, and we always start it off with George's weekly or bi-monthly tech update. What's going on out there on the internet stuff with all sorts of gear?
Well, I'll save the rants for later, but okay. Starting off with
we'll get into it. Yeah.
Some new tech and some interesting stuff I've come across in the last couple of weeks. Conversation comes up often with us that use the Macs because, yes, they are cute, they are tiny and cuddly and very sexy and quiet and all amazing pixie dust sprinkled little machines, except they're very low on ports, really low on ports, especially the MacBook Air. But even the Mac Mini has, the new one is coming this year and we understand it's going to have more ports. But in the meantime, if you have a Mac Mini of any of the current generation, the M1 Mac Minis, which Dan and I both have, great computer, very powerful, very low on ports. And this product from OWC, Otherworld Computing, aka also known as MacSales.com, is called the MiniStack STX. Jim Edgar mentioned it in one of the Facebook groups. And here's the pros and the cons, the quickie. Pros, it has four ports on the back. One would be plugged into your Mac, and the other three are available to plug in other stuff. And those are USB 4 and Thunderbolt 4 ports. They do both, and so they're extremely, extremely fast. So anything you plug into those ports are going to give you the same exact speed as though you were plugged into the computer. So that's great. But its other little magic trick is that inside the unit, and it's about the shape, it's designed to be the shape of a Mac Mini, just sitting underneath of one. Inside, it stores two different drives that you can add in or you can buy with it pre-installed. It'll hold a 2.5-inch drive, which is like your typical laptop-sized drive, and that could be a hard drive or solid state. and it can hold a, and I can never remember the name of this thing, it can hold an NVMe PCIe storage device. And those are the ones that look really more like a memory card, like a RAM chip. And that's actually the kind of storage that's inside of your modern Mac or PC computers. And they are extremely, extremely fast in terms of how they read and write. So you basically, inside this little box, you can have an extremely high performance drive for video and audio production, whatever level that you do. And then you can have a secondary drive, which is just really where your media will live after you're finished, where you export everything, you know, all your documents, things like that. This is definitely a power user kind of project or product. It's probably more hardcore than maybe most video or audiobook people or narrators might need, but it is a pretty impressive thing. But there's a catch, and it does have a fan. And I guess in order to have the ventilation to keep those drives inside there cool, it does actually have a fan. I haven't heard it yet. I haven't used it. I did read the reviews. One person in the reviews mentioned the fan was a little distracting, which I'm a little concerned about. So if you're like me and you have your Mac Mini right in front of you, like I do, this may not be a great solution. OWC does have a ton of other Thunderbolt docks that are fanless. I have their original Thunderbolt 3 dock here, and it's completely fanless. So just so you know, there's other products out there that will soup up your Mac Mini, hopefully reducing your number of outboard docks and hubs to a minimum. I haven't seemed to be able to get away without having an external Thunderbolt dock and as well as at least a 4-port hub, USB hub, to give me enough ports to do everything, at least in my setup, where I've got a little bit more going on maybe than average. Another little thing is my I'm always looking for cool gadgets that will make your daily life easier, especially if you do a lot of live directed sessions or Zoom rooms or anything where it's live and you want to have a really good way to control your mic. And Whirlwind makes the Mic Mute PPD, and it's a box that looks like this, right? I have it plugged in right now, so I can't hold it upright. The cords are short. This is the Mic Mute PPD by Whirlwind, but it's not, because it's been modified. This one would belong to a client, and they had it long enough that the original toggle switch, you know, click, click, just a normal toggle, eventually failed. So I thought, you know, it'd be fun to modify one of these and make it do one more thing than it normally does. So my awesome dad, I sent it to him. He replaced the switch with a foot switch he happened to have laying around. So yeah, you can just push it. It works. But when you turn it back on, it makes a little bit of a loud click, right? You can hear the sound it makes, right?
Just use it under your foot. And then
yeah, it's a foot switch you can put on the floor. But here's the bonus. It has contact closures, aka fancy for just a switch. So it'll switch anything that you plug through it. Now, my dad said the switch is rated to 2 amps, so you don't want to switch really powerful things. But if you wanted to just make a simple 12-volt LED sign or some kind of light bulb or something that you want to trigger outside the studio, you could just easily hook that up with just a normal power supply. Splice the wire into this thing, and boom, you can have a light turn on and off at the press of a foot switch every time your mic comes on and off.
Cool.
I can't believe I had to have my dad make this. I'm kind of shocked it doesn't exist in the real world, but it's such a simple thing, and hey, it works. But Dad, I promise I will actually hook something up to it. Soon. I haven't gotten a chance to plug an actual sign into it. Another couple little things. Graham Spicer recently told me, very recently, like yesterday, mentioned in an email about Hindenburg Narrator Studio. Dan, have you heard of Hindenburg, audio software?
People use it for podcasting. It was originally designed for podcasting. So
yeah, for reporting. I think it was like for reporters and doing field reporting, then podcasting. Well, they've branched into narrator production, like literally audiobook production. And they have an addition now designed completely around audiobook production, and it automates like a lot of stuff. We were talking last time about to Jody about what do you dare automate. This thing takes it to another level. I've only just heard about it. I'm curious about its, you know, when you're leaving so much of the processing and the post and everything completely up to software to make decisions, I get nervous as an engineer. I'm a little bit of a control freak, but if it does what it says on the tin, as they say in England, if it really does, it could be a massive time saver for audiobook narrators. And you guys know that do your own audiobook production, you know you're not getting paid by the hour to engineer. So again, jury's still out. I haven't demoed it, but based on what I've read, it's quite an impressive tool set for what it is. Hindenburg has a lot of flavors, right? They're not just one app. They have a lot of different versions. So check out it's called Narrator Studio from Hindenburg. Give that a look. Now, Dan, you got the mic I was kind of gushing about a couple weeks ago. The Rode Video Mic Go 2. I know we weren't able to do a really good demo of it, so at some point maybe you can get audio.
I'm actually talking about it.
Oh, it's on
now.
It is on now.
All right.
Well,
it may not work on the way. What are my impressions? Well, it sounds fine. It's actually got a little light on it, sort of like the halo meter on a Focusrite, so you can tell if you're overmodulating. It's designed to be attached to a camera or an iPhone. And the problem with it is, now, as you can hear, it sounds fine.
It sounds like it's got compression. Does it have a compressor?
It might. But
in that little app that it has?
There's a little app, but I don't necessarily think that there's anything compressing about it.
Oh, interesting. It sounds compressed. That's wild.
But, you know, if I back off, this is really what it's going to sound like when, you're talking on a camera.
It sounds really good from like 6-8 inches away.
Yeah, which is really what it's designed for. So it's sort of like a 416, only it's not $1,000.
It's big. It's only that long.
It's not very big at all. And it comes with a clown nose too. So, could it be used as a voiceover mic? I don't know. It sounds exactly the same as this one, sort of. It's there. It works, but it doesn't come with the right adapter to work with an iPhone, because it's not the USB-C that comes out of it goes into an iPhone Lightning connector, but it's not a Lightning charging cable. It's a Lightning accessory cable. It's wired just a little bit differently. So to use with your iPhone, there's another $20-$30 that you got to spend. Yeah. One of those guys. So it can be powered by USB-C or by a TRS, cable, like one of these guys.
Yeah. It's a 2-for-1. You get the video mic feature of the TRS cable that plugs into your camera, and you get the USB feature to plug into a laptop, PC or phone. It's a 2-for-1.
Right.
It's interesting. I know it's got software that controls it that you actually set the gain with. It may even have an auto gain mode that I'm not aware of. It sounds like maybe it's in auto gain mode. I'm not sure. It has the sound it sounds like it's compressing a little bit, but it sounds clear. I mean, the audio quality coming off is pretty good. I'm curious to hear it in some spots. Maybe do one of your spots coming up on that mic.
I'll try that. Now I was able to switch back.
Yay.
Don't ask me. I'm glad that happened. That would have been some major editing.
Yeah. So the Rode Video Mic Go 2, Dan's got one if you want to know more about it. And just keep in mind, if you're buying it for the purpose of being like a USB mic that you throw in your car, your bag, or whatever, you're going to have to buy some more cables to actually use it that way as a USB mic.
Right.
And that leads me to ranting about more things.
Let's have some quick rants here.
It's quickie. Well, yeah, we'll keep it moving. First of all, a client of mine, unfortunately, wasn't a client before she made this decision. She bought an Apogee Symphony desktop. And Apogee, I don't know what it is, you guys. Your gear is second to none in terms of quality of hardware build, AD conversion, preamps are great. Software's good. It's getting better all the time. But firmware and drivers and stability is just another thing. And the hoops she had to jump through just to get it functioning so we could work together and just get it set up was pretty painful for her. The support she received was clearly, you know, it was clearly targeted to engineers. And again, she was recommended this gear by none other than salespeople at Banjo Emporium. Not by me and not by anybody in VoiceOver. And by the time she realized she had been recommended the wrong thing, it was no longer in the return policy time period. So she was essentially stuck with it. So I shouldn't bash something that has a function that actors, that producers and musicians would find useful. But for what that thing costs, they should have rolled out the red carpet in terms of support. She waited a long time to hear from them, and it was just a very painful process. So I'm still the only Apogee thing I'm really behind right now, and even then I'm kind of meh, is the Apogee mic. Otherwise, I just won't recommend Apogee hardware. It's just too finicky and too complex for what it is. Another thing that's kind of let me down, not really me, but one of my clients, as I hate to say it, the Personas Revelator IO24. I'm using it here and it's still working well for me. I recommended it to somebody. He bought it as a replacement for his app, his Universal Audio Apollo Solo. So he started with something really good, but really complicated. And he went to this, and the sound quality was a decided drop in quality. Like, you guys know, we have compared many USB interfaces, even including the Apollo, and found all of them to be shades of mauve different from each other, like barely noticeable, you know, some of them more so, but very small, subtle list. This was like, whoa, something's not right. This thing sounded bad. And Personas, we sent them the audio samples. We said, here's one with the solo, here's one with yours. And they kind of denied that anything was really wrong. They're like, no, we think it's fine. So, I mean, fortunately, my client was able to return it to the retailer and get it. And I believe he actually is, even after that, getting another one. Because honestly, that's the problem, is it there's nothing else that does exactly what it does and the way it does it. But buyer beware, buying a very affordable gear that does a lot of stuff, you know, something might give, and that could be quality control. So I'm just saying, beware. I'm frustrated, but this is just this is the way it goes. And that also goes for microphones and Rode. Rode of all companies, I love their products. Again, another innovative company that makes really cool stuff. Really great prices. Right in Australia, I've been using the Rode NTG5 for over a year, and mine has started showing some signs of problems. And what that is it can sometimes start to clip and distort well before you're actually reaching the clipping point in your preamp. It's hard to describe what it sounds like, but you're just like talking into it and it's going, and it's like, why is it crunchy? So that started happening with my Rode NTG5. Now, I wouldn't have thought much of it, but a year ago when these things came out, or maybe a little bit before, I had recommended it to quite a few people because I was really amazed by it. And more than one, probably three that I'd heard of personally, had the same exact problem. So what does that mean? I don't know if it's a design thing, or I don't know if it was a batch thing. It may have been a batch of these that were made that had that issue, but it's frustrating. It's disappointing. They are going to make it right. And I know, in fact, that Rode is going to, there's just no questions asked. They're going to replace it. And so I have to give them huge props for their support and wanting to make it right. Now, full disclosure, that could be the relationship I have with Rode. I've demoed their gear. I've had them send me gear. My podcast, The Pro Audio Suite, is supported by Rode. So they might be giving me extra special treatment. I don't know. But then nonetheless, they are sending me another one, which I'll be swapping out. In the meantime, I'm using the NTG4, which is a good backup mic. It just needs about 10 to 12 dB more gain to get a good signal out of it. It's interesting that it's not nearly as sensitive. And I use a little more processing on it to get the sound that I was kind of accustomed to from the NTG5, but it's working. And it's always important to have backup gear. So keep that in mind. Anyway, end of rant. Dan, did you have a mini rant about RX7? Let's keep the rant thing going.
Yeah, we got just a couple of minutes before the break here. All right, I got something from a client this morning. She's like, "What's wrong with my audio? It sounds hissy and then it fades out." After words, and I'm like, "Well, it sounds like adaptive noise reduction. Are you using any of that? And why is it hissy?" Because she's using a good microphone and a good interface, and it's like, and she had a booth, a good booth. And I'm like, it just shouldn't sound that way. And then I thought about it. I'm like, you're using something you shouldn't be using. Chances are she was recording too low, normalizing and getting a lot of hiss. And then to get rid of the hiss, she was using RX8 to try and remove it. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of professionals out there saying, "Oh man, you got to have this RX8. It's great. It does all this great stuff."
And it's on sale now.
For Valentine's Day last week. The fact of the matter is, it's not designed for voiceover. There's so much stuff that is marketed to voice actors that's got nothing to do with it. RX7 and 8 and these Isotope, nothing against Isotope, great company. Mm-hmm. But this stuff is designed to clean up the audio on old records and
it's
old recordings. Yes,
restoration,
exactly.
And it's a video editor's fixing tool to deal with cruddy audio that they've been sent.
Right, yeah. Which is a lot. But for voiceover, for a clean, dry audio in your booth with a good microphone, there is absolutely no reason to be cleaning that up and twisting the waves and stretching it and doing all the things that it does. Stop recommending RX8 to people because
don't need it.
But the worst thing is people, exactly. They're recommending it because they use it for all of their work. Having it doesn't mean it's going to make you sound better, because if you don't know how to use it, it's going to make you sound like my client did this morning.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
That's
adaptive noise reduction tools. You need to, those tools can still cause more damage than they are helping you.
Right.
And
exactly.
You have to be really careful. The only thing I find the Isotope RX's editor, the RX editor has tools in it that make audiobook production or mastering automated. That is something that I find helpful, whether you use the mouth declickers and all that stuff or not. There is some helpful tools in there. If you have Adobe Audition, you don't need it.
I can
do everything in Adobe Audition.
As can I.
I'd say RX is a good complement to the Twisted Wave or Audacity if you really have nightmare mouth noise or you're doing a lot of mastering.
Right.
So anyway.
But other than that, you got to learn how to use it. There's guys teaching classes on it. And remember, somebody who's teaching a class on it has the experience in their studio.
Yeah,
their audio. And you've got to be able to know your own voice and your own sound before you start using something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, enough ranting for now. We got lots of questions to get to. Let's take a break and we'll get to your questions right after these very important announcements. So don't go away.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
Now, at VoiceOver Essentials, it's the legend reimagined. The MicPort Pro 3.0 brings incredible new features, all in the handheld, self-powered package the MicPort Pro has always been known for, like a new mic preamp with 65 dB of crystal clear gain, USB-C jacks, and a stunning headphone amplifier with a super convenient gain switch. You've no doubt heard of or recorded with the MicPort Pro. The MicPort Pro breakthrough audio interface connected any studio quality microphone to a micro digital interface. This newest iteration of the legendary USB MicPort Pro turns your phone, tablet, laptop, or desktop into a professional recording studio. Smaller than most microphones, it's feature-rich, easy to use, and travel-friendly. And right now, VoiceOver Essentials is paying the shipping in the continental U.S.
and they're including one of their ever-popular VO caps for a limited time. Get it now at voiceoveressentials.com.
Hey, that's me. And that means it's time for me to talk about Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, the original tool to supplant or replace. So ISDN. Back in the day when I started working with Source Elements to actually not working with them as much as just working with their stuff, it was designed as a way to create a backup for ISDN. It was the tool that tons of the busiest voice actors, the ones that we say wear the golden handcuffs, were using, because it allowed them to now do ISDN type sessions from anywhere. In fact, many of them were employing things like bridges to connect from Source Connect to ISDN. And that was the norm, right? That was happening everywhere. Well, I'll tell you, ISDN clung on for life until really the pandemic. And that was the death knell for ISDN. And that's main reason really was because the studios that actually support using it, their doors were closed. The engineers, they're at home in their bedrooms, just like you guys, recording you. And so Source Connect obviously took over. I know there's a lot of tools out there that do similar things. There's a lot of innovation in this space, but it's established itself as a standard. It works as a plugin directly into Pro Tools. There's a lot of things. It's got this thing called Queue Manager that allows auto replacing of audio. There's a lot of things that really adds to its value to productions. And that's why you probably want to know about it. So head over to source-elements.com and get a 15-day free trial over there, and make sure you're aware of it. Make sure you know how it works, and make sure you know that your studio is up to par as well to be able to make use of a tool like this. Your studio's got to sound good. All right, let's get on to the questions right after this break.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's a, the files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam. VOBS.TV.
And we're back. Time for our lightning round. We got a lot of questions tonight.
Gotta love Sweet. It.
Love the questions.
And you know what? I haven't even looked at them yet, so I'm going in cold right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, me too. All right. So let's start off. Our chat room monitor, Jeff Holman, has a question. Does the Zoom feature called Touch Up My Appearance make for lower quality, audio-wise? Does it smooth things out to the point of taking out video detail so the feed of your face looks less clear? I haven't used it.
I never use it. I've tried it. I've just turned it on and turned it off. You'll see the change of the appearance immediately if you turn it on and turn it off. Like it's real time. So all you have to do is turn it on, and what you see is what you get.
See what happens.
See what happens.
Anyway.
That was weird. Your camera went out of focus.
No, I was doing that deliberately.
Oh. Jeff, you don't need it. You're an actor, man. You got actor face. Tim Branson says, hey guys, have you had a chance to check out Audience upgrade to their ID14, which is called the ID14 Mark II? Thoughts? Yeah, a couple years ago. Did you ever get one in studio to review, Dan?
I didn't. Yeah, no, they sent me one, and I wrote a review. Primarily, they wanted to, how does it work for podcasting? So I had to talk about that. The audience stuff is pretty good. They're British audio engineers, so they're
sound
they're
quality not a problem.
Not a problem. We found out it had a little bit of you had to really crank it though for voiceover unless you're doing
the gain
Once you get like over 75-80%, that's where all the heavy gain is. But, you know, they're great. They're great little units. We know a lot of people that use them. But, you know, they do the same thing. They turn the analog audio into the ones and zeros our computers understand. They all do it pretty much the same way. It has a little bit more to do with the preamps that are in them. But they're all pretty good. So
the 14 Mark II and the 4 Mark II has more fancy mixing, monitoring, loopback features in them. So if you need those loopback tools, those will be more useful to you. I got to admit, for me and my clients and just overall, the company, while their products are great designs, the sound quality is awesome, kind of in the same vein, a little bit of with Apogee there, where stability is an issue. Long-time stability is a bit of a problem on some products that I've dealt with. I'm hoping the Mark IIs are a whole new design ground up that is more stable and more reliable long term. Still, jury's out. If you're watching the show and you've got an ID 14 Mark II or the ID 4 Mark II and you use it and love it and you've had no problems, or if you've had problems, let us know in the chat, you know, because I'd love to know. When I recommend gear, I want to make sure it's going to solve as many people's problems as possible.
All righty. Yeah. Professor Larry Hudson. That's what I call him. Don't ask me why. He says, George, I need to utilize two mics at one time and have loopback so you can hear, you know, what you can play back stuff. I'm still using the old Mackie 1202 and it's time to upgrade, you think? Are you still hot for the Presonus Revelator 24? I will call you too. I'm about to buy a new Mini. Should I wait?
Sounds like two questions.
It is two questions, but he says he'll call you about the first one. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, well, you were ranting about the Revelator a few minutes ago, but
you heard my rant. Okay, but I actually did a video on Vimeo Pro, which I actually don't even think I've linked on my website yet. Shame on me. I did a video walking you through how to set up a Revelator IO24 to do really everything a voiceover could ever need. With Martha Kahn, actually, she was the guinea pig. So I would check that out, because that video really goes into a lot of depth. It's a video that's a pay-per-view, like a rental. You can go and rent it for a year and watch it as much as you want. But it really goes into the nuts and bolts of how to set up all of its mix minuses and how the driver works and how the fat channel works, etc. Beware of buying consumery prosumer gear. It's not, quality isn't always going to be where it should be. If they had like a pro version of it that was higher quality everything, I would recommend it. That's just not how Presonus kind of rolls. They're very much price point company, make it cheap if we can. But it's pretty neat. In terms of the new Mac Mini, I don't know. Did I wait? I didn't. I'm happy.
Same here.
Completely happy with my Mac Mini M1 2020. I guess it's a 2020 model. It's fantastic. So no, I don't know if you should wait, because then you might just decide you didn't need the new thing, and you've just deprived yourself of the thing you already needed. So
go get one.
Yeah, go get one. Get 16 gigs of RAM though.
Yeah, I always get the maximum.
Order
of RAM.
The extra RAM. Yeah,
of course you can't add chips in the new Macs. They've hardwired everything.
Everything's hardwired. With a dock like I mentioned earlier, if you are frugal like me and you get the 512 storage, I have the 256 gig storage, no big deal. With one of those docks, you can add in a 1, 2, 3, 4 terabyte super fast drive later and get all that storage back for a lot cheaper than Apple sells it for. So you have options.
J. Horace Black, have you had a chance to review the Universal Audio Volt 1 and the UA Volt 2 yet?
No,
I know people who have them.
Who was it that mentioned he likes it?
Peter Bishop mentioned it.
Peter Bishop did? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And somebody else uses it on the road. I think it was
Dave Fenoy mentioned that he likes it. Yeah.
Yeah. He likes taking it on the road. I guess it's a real simple version of, the Arrow and the Apollo twin.
I don't know how much it's related.
You can't do plugins with it.
Yeah. It doesn't have all the crazy bells and whistles and the console, but that's probably a big pro, to be honest. Yeah. Like if it has the quality of the converters and the preamps of the Solo, the $500 Apollo Solo, but the simple operation of a Scarlett, that could be compelling. So yeah, I haven't tried it yet. I'm still kind of hooked on the SSL2 as my favorite mid-priced, really nice, well-designed interface. I'm really loving that one, but yeah, one of these days, I'm sure I'll get one across my desk.
Yeah, I wanted to try the SSL2 myself. The Volt, or is it the Bolt? No, it's a Volt.
Yeah, it's a Volt, yeah.
Yeah, the Bolt is a car. But there's also a car that's
a Volt
is,
car.
That's right.
My friend had one. I was driving it over the weekend. A Bolt is awesome.
Electric cars are cool.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Grace Newton. Question for me. Were we to submit audio to your specimen collection cup for analysis, do you need to know what equipment we're using, our booth setup and dimensions, etc.? For the most part, yeah. I mean, it'll say what microphone are you using, what interface are you using, what computer, what software, and how are you physically set up? Are you in a closet? Are you in a booth? Are you in your living room? Are you living out of your car, which, very popular here in LA? I will ask if you give me as much detailed information as possible.
Yep.
The reason that we do the specimen collection cup, the reason we need to hear it is people say, I got this, I got a hissing sound, or I got this, or I got that. Everybody hears differently and everybody describes things very, very differently. We see this on Facebook all the time. People say, I got a buzz. And of course, we immediately say, can we hear it? Because it's the sound that we hear that tells us what the problem is. And tell me everything you can about your setup so I can make an honest analysis. Sometimes someone will say, well, yeah, I'm using an NXL mic mate. I'm like, well, there's your problem right there.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I have one still sitting in a drawer here just in case, I'm bringing it around. All right. You plug it in just to prove that, okay, the problem is with your interface.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a tester to make sure the mic actually works.
Right.
It was an early attempt to make an interface that it was not.
Yeah. Great. It had not too hissy, very hissy, and incredibly hissy.
Yeah,
they didn't have enough.
Pre-position level switch. Yeah.
Okay, you get the Shelly Aaron Cohen.
Karen Cohen. Hi, guys. Are you aware of any de-esser that can be applied while you are recording? So real time, I guess, as recording, instead of in post. In my experience, you can really use any de-esser plugin real time while you're recording, if you have the right DAW. You have to have a multi-track DAW. So it could be done. You could rig it up in Audition. You could rig it up in Reaper, Studio One, Pro Tools, Logic. But you do need those multi-track DAWs to actually do that. Yes and no. It just depends on your setup. But that's a dynamic processor, and they have extremely, extremely fast low latency. How they react to the audio. So they can be used real time, as opposed to, like Dan was talking about earlier, those noise reduction tools that kind of have a delay where they have to analyze the audio as it goes through, then figure out what to do, and then apply a filter. Those cannot be used real time.
Yeah. And of course, some people say, I'm really sibilant. I've only seen that a couple of times where somebody is really sibilant. To me, it's always a physical thing. And essentially what I guess sibilance is, although I'm sure Byron Wagner will tell me, no, you're wrong, is that sibilance is an overmodulation of a higher frequency. which is why it sounds the way it does.
It's an onomatopoeia.
Yeah, that's it.
Sibilance.
Yes, like bang, bang.
Is that the right use of that word?
Onomatopoeia? Yes, it's the sound. It's the talking, the sound, describing the sound that something has.
Right, like crunch.
Yeah, or, you know, bop. it's like Batman. What were we talking about? I lost my train of thought there.
Using processing real time.
I'm not a big fan of upfront processing.
Yeah, me neither.
Everything to me, voiceover. Is physical. You want to improve your vocal technique. You don't want to overmodulate. You don't want to overemphasize any sibilant types of sounds.
Right.
You know, there's no sibilance there. It's just the sound of an S. But if you push the S too hard, you can get some sibilance. But, you know, some people, just the way their mouths are, they might be a little bit more sibilant. Can you fix that in a front-end processor? I don't recommend it, but some people do. And if it works for you, who am I to say? I don't know.
Danny Henkla. How you doing, Danny?
Hey, Danny.
Or Danny. I said Danny Henkla. No, it's Danny Henkla.
Danny.
Sorry, Danny. He mentioned, there was a conversation about docs because I mentioned one earlier for Thunderbolt. He mentioned one that's not fanned and he's using himself, and it's made by Kensington. And it is the
memory
model,
people.
Yes, the model SD5700T. It's a Thunderbolt 4 docking station. It can support up to 2 4K displays. It can charge up to 90 watts of power out of its USB to your Mac or Windows. It looks like a beast, and it's got Ethernet. It's got four USB-A ports. It's got a memory card reader, three Thunderbolt ports. That's a heck of a package. It's pretty awesome. It ain't cheap either, but I'm telling you, these good brand new Thunderbolt technology docks are not cheap. They're going to be $300 usually or more. And this one's around that. So thanks for the recommendation, Denny.
Yeah. Carl Gillette says he uses an inline cough blocks to interrupt his mic output. Love it.
Oh,
obviously a radio guy.
That sounds like a radio thing for sure. I think of, a cough button. Isn't that, that's a radio broadcast term for sure.
Yeah.
Cough buttons.
Chris, we got those on the road podcaster here, or procaster. I just does it right off and like, there we go.
Yeah. I mean, I can do it on my thing, but I still have to I have an iPad over here and I could tap a button, but there's a lot less of a chance that I would hit it at the right time instead of having a push button switch that can really hit. There's something satisfying about that.
All right, you get the last question from Dave G.
From Dave. Sorry about your gear acquisition syndrome, Lenny. Lenny. I'm just going to call you
Lee Penny.
Sorry, Lee. Dave G says my ID14 1 Mark 1 first generation crapped out. It took 6 months to get fixed. It was a horrible service center in Los Angeles. Audient was no help. They passed the buck. But my Mark II is awesome. So hopefully that's the case that the Mark IIs have a better power supply. I think it's power supplies that was plaguing the first generation stuff. Hopefully they solved that problem and they're awesome. So that's good to know, Dave. Sorry about your bad experience the first time around.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we're not giving you gear acquisition syndrome or GAS. We try to keep it simple. Now, we talk about some of this stuff, but you'll notice that we don't talk about a really high-end equipment.
No, we don't.
And the fact of the matter is you don't need high-end equipment. One of my favorite expressions is, if you're going to buy a Ferrari, you have to have a nice garage for it. You know, people are like, I want to have a U87. I want to have this great expensive mic. It's not going to change the way you perform copy.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep emphasizing this. Everybody's like bragging about, you know, this equipment or that equipment. You know, we had Jody Krangel on last week. Bless her heart, she does it exactly the way we say. She's got a 416 into an interface, into her computer. And a good environment. If your environment is right, that's the most important thing. How you use your microphone and if you set your levels right. Otherwise, all this gear is, you know...
distracting.
It's for geeks. You can be a geek and a voice actor, but you don't want to be a geek to be a voice actor.
I'm telling you, it's just downright distracting. I've been pushing harder and harder. I've been pushing harder and harder about not wearing headphones. And Dan's like, duh. but man, because I'm just telling people, like, if you are in any way making a judgment call on a sound problem, whether it's a mouth click or a passing car, you are not in the act. You're not in that role at that moment. You have switched roles from acting to engineering. And then that's it. Just stop. Like, stop the session. Not the session, but just stop the take because you are no longer in it. I really feel strongly you really have to limit your time wearing headphones recording voiceover. It is just too darn distracting. And you can't do both engineering and acting. You can think you're doing it, but you can't do both.
This is what matters, not all the bells and whistles and the flashing lights.
The more gadgetry that's going on that you have to be concerned about working, let alone whether it's been prefab, pre-configured, and tweaked within an inch of its life by me, it doesn't matter. If you have any concern whether it's actually working or not, or what to do if something doesn't work, it's not serving you.
That's right. Keep
it simple.
Alrighty. Thank you for your questions. We love them. And of course, you can send the questions to us anytime. All you have to do is go into your email program and write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. If you got a question, if you send it there, guaranteed it'll be first in line when we do our next tech talk. So anyway.
It'll be waiting for us.
That's right. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll wrap things up for this week right after these messages.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
Hey, it's David H. Lawrence, the 17th, and we talk a lot in this business about moving forward with our career, getting more information. We often don't talk about simply getting started. It can be one of the most immovable objects in our life, getting out of our own way and just simply taking the first step. And if you're watching this podcast, Voiceover Body Shop, for some tips on how to get started in voiceover or to change something about your voiceover career or to increase your knowledge in a certain area, check out voheroes.com's Getting Started in Voiceover. If you go to voheroes.com/start, you'll get all the information. It's really cheap, and I give you a lot to get started in the business, but you might also learn something if you've been in the voiceover business for a while. voheroes.com/start. That's voheroes.com/start.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. Voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying Voice Over Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
And we're back. Got a little bit of time to say goodbye so we could talk slower. Anyway, Let's see. Where are we here? Ah, next week on this very show, we have another great guest. I got a lot of great people lined. We've been planning.
Did you see my list, Dan?
I saw your list. And by the way, who was first on that list?
Jody Krangle. She was awesome.
She was thrilled to be with us, which was great. But we got a few others that I've been in touch with, and people want to be on our show. They want to be seen. They want to be heard, and they got great stuff to offer. So make sure that you you tune in next week when we present somebody else really good. Let's see here. We need to thank our donors of the week, like Rob Rader,
Patty Gibbons,
Greg Thomas,
Shauna Pennington Baird.
I always let you say her name. Yes, Icon Productions. That's Martha Kahn.
Don Griffith.
Stephen Chandler. Thanks so much.
Sandra Manwiller.
Robert Liedem.
Antland Productions.
Uncle Roy. Shelley Avellino.
Thomas Pinto.
Brian Page.
George A. Whittem, my dad.
Nathan Carlson.
Graham Spicer.
And Lee Penny. Thanks,
because he wants his name to be mentioned.
He wants it mentioned at least four times a show. Possible. So. You've got office hours, don't you?
Oh, yeah, office hours. That's for anybody that's a client of George the Tech. You can access my private clubhouse room, and I'm on there twice a week. Generally, it's 10:30 a.m. Mondays and 4 p.m. Fridays. Just 30 minutes, just answering technical stuff. And it's just an extra service we provide at georgethe.tech. And Dan, you're over there at
homevoiceoverstudio.com. Yes, homevoiceoverstudio.com. Got the the specimen collection cup, got all sorts of stuff. I can't wait for the new website, but we're gonna really upgrade what we're doing. You know, after 15 years, maybe it's time to do that. But then again, a whole lot hasn't changed. Just a little bit of tech. I'm also gonna start doing more videos again. It's been a while. So I think it's time to update some of the tips of the week that I did 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, some of that stuff is evergreen, and some of it is ready for updates. So, yeah, there's a lot of content. Right. Was tonight glitch-free?
Yeah, a little bit of echo on my voice. When I talk louder, that it's right there.
Yeah, I guess must be getting a lot of bleed from these headphones. It must be what it is.
Yeah, we're all going deaf. What can I say? And of course, headphones.
Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed.
Jeez,
okay, now tell me now if the echo goes away.
Test 1, 2. Yep, that's what it was.
Okay. I am so embarrassed. Actually, my headphones don't bleed. The problem is they don't bleed at all, and I couldn't hear that my monitor speakers were still on at a low volume.
Oops.
Oops. Did the whole show that way.
Doesn't matter. Okay. Well, pay no attention to what just went on. George actually knows what he's doing.
Oh, my gosh.
We need to thank our amazing sponsors. You start this time.
Okay. Where were we? Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And JMC Demos.
Yes.
Our thanks to Jeff Holman. Great job in the chat room tonight getting all our questions out to us. Our amazing technical director. I can't wait till we can all get back together in the studio. Maybe one more time remotely, but, not the mask mandates coming down in L.A. I think we should probably start
show. Yeah.
When we do our next show on February 28th, if you want to listen and watch live. Sumerlino, thanks so much for all the work you do. And Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. I think that's 5 times got mentioned tonight. Anyway, well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks for all your questions. Thanks for your business. Thank you for trusting us with your home studio audio. But it really comes down to one thing. You can get all this equipment. You can do all this stuff. But if it sounds good,
it is good.
I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or
VOBS.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Well, now the echo is gone. Okay. Have a great week, everybody.
Can we start over again? No. Stick around.